Lord, we just come before you today so blessed that we can know people, we can be fathers. Lord, what a high title that you even call yourself our Father, that we get to say Abba. We get to say, Father, come and help us. Lord, what a privilege that is, that we get to know you, that Jesus has made a way for us to know you, to have intimacy with our Heavenly Father. So Lord, as we look at fathers, as I even preach this message, I just pray that you would anoint the words going forth and that it would be glorifying to you, our Father. And so Lord, we pray in Jesus' name that you would empower us to live a life devoted to you. Honor your word as it goes forth in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, happy Father's Day. Happy Father's Day. I have the great privilege of having wonderful fathers in my life, natural fathers and adopted fathers, right? So fathers in love. And I've been blessed to be around wonderful fathers. And not everyone gets that privilege. I don't take it lightly that I have been around incredible godly men in a lot of my life, a lot of wonderful examples of what it looks like to be a father. Can I say that I love being a father? I love having my kids run around. I love my girls. And of all the things that I have done in my life, there's nothing that even comes close to being a dad. Being a father is one of the most exhilarating and special experiences of my life. I wouldn't trade it for anything. I would say that of all the things that we experience as adults, there's nothing like becoming a father that will give you a glimpse into the heart of God. The heart of God for his kids. When you have kids of your own, you get to see and get a little picture of what God sees in us. It's not hard for me to love my kids. It's not hard for me to be excited about the things they do. And I think about God going, we're like over here, it's like, look at the little accomplishment I did. And God's like, I'm so excited about that. The way I'm excited about what my daughters do, what Ellie and Livy and Abby do. I'm excited about their accomplishments. And so I love being a dad. But as we look around in the world, we see that fatherhood does not enjoy a high state of respect. We watch the TV for just a few minutes, and we quickly see that fatherhood is not really something that's elevated anymore. It's actually something that is looked down upon. Watch commercials. I mean, dads are portrayed as idiots, incompetent, inept, unable to do anything on their own, unloving, totally lost in the world without help from their spouse. It's not to be so. It's not the way God intended it. It's not hard for us to see that society has lost its respect for fathers. And the sad truth is that fatherless homes are at an all-time high. Here's just a few of the statistics that in studying for this, and I won't go over all of them because there's endless statistics. But it said 85% of youth who are currently in prison grew up in a fatherless home. This is juvies. This is juvenile halls. 39% of students in the United States from the first grade to their senior year of high school do not have a father in the home. That's like 40% of kids. 24.7, this is a few years ago, 24.7 million children in the United States live in a home where their biological father is not present. That equates to one in every three children in the United States not having access to their fathers. Why are things so messed up? I submit to you this, right? And there's a lot of other statistics, and because we have the kids in the room, I'm not going to go over them for the sake of kind of the graphic nature of it. But let's just say that people who commit violent crimes against women, men who commit violent crimes against women, 75% of those people say that they're motivated by displaced anger that is associated with feelings of abandonment from their father. 75% of those men. We're living in a culture that is broken in many ways because men have neglected their role. They don't see that role, and society doesn't venerate that role as fathers. So many of the problems that we see in society can be directly linked back to us being outside of God's plan for the family. The father is integral. We could go on and on with all these statistics, but we know that God's design for the family always included a father. Always. It's God's design, and it's the best because it's God's design, and it's meant to be followed. And we see what happens to a society when we don't follow God's plan, when we don't follow what God has for the family. So this morning, rather than dwell on the negative statistics and the things we know to be true about the impact that fathers make and the lack of fathers impacts our society negatively, I just wanted to bring up a few things to remind us that I believe the Lord gave to me as I was praying yesterday about a good father. What does a good father do, and what does a good father look like? And there were four things that the Lord brought to my mind as I was asking him, Lord, tell me what a good father does. Like, what are some things? And this is not an all-inclusive list that we're going to go over today, but it's just four things to bring out that we can self-examine and say, am I doing these things? Lord, would you give me the strength to do these things? First, a good father learns. Not like the world learns, but the knowledge and the light of who God is, right? The world is fascinated with going to colleges and universities and gaining knowledge, right? And I like to say that many, many people in our society are educated beyond their intelligence. That is really the case. But I'm talking about a good father learning and learning in the light of who God is, what God has designed. He designed us to learn new things. He designed us to accumulate those things that he wants to show us. Psalm 86:11 says, teach me your way, O Lord. I will walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name. The Lord wants us to be teachable, and the Lord desires for us to know. Matthew 11:27-30 says, all things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and the one whom the Son wills to reveal to him. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly of heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. As fathers, we should learn from our mistakes, right? We should learn from our successes, and most importantly, from fellowshipping with God through prayer and through his word. He says, look, come, learn of me. Take my yoke, learn from me. He's the one we should be learning from. But as a good father, we should constantly be learning. You know, the father's learning and dad's learning was so important that Mark Twain actually has a saying about it. He has this quote about dad's learning, and he says, when I was a boy of 14, my father was so ignorant, I could hardly stand to have the old man around. But when I got to be 21, I was astonished at how much he had learned in 7 years. And obviously he's being facetious, because that coming of age, you realize that how much your dad had been learning, had known, and you had just started to catch up and becoming an adult and started realizing how much you didn't know. But have you considered that the Christian will be learning forever? We don't often think about this, but the way that God designed us, it's like he's given me a hunger to learn things. He's given me a hunger to recognize what I don't know, what I don't understand in this world. And this self-realization or this self-assessment, you go, Lord, I don't know so much. Teach me. But for the Christian, and it's not so for the non-Christian, but for the Christian, we will be learning forever. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 11 and 12, it says, when I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I am known. And many people, when they read that verse, they go, we're going to know everything in heaven, right? We're going to know. It's all going to be revealed. It's all going to be clear to us. The word actually here is gnosko, and it means to gain understanding or clarity. It doesn't mean that we're going to be omniscient. It means that the things that have been revealed to us will be clear. That's different. Only God is omniscient. And so when we go to heaven, he's saying, look, I'm going to wipe away the Vaseline of sin that's been marring your vision, and you're finally going to get clarity. You're going to get the why, and you're going to get the sharp image that only comes from sin getting removed from the picture. We're going to see clearly in heaven, but we're going to spend eternity learning and sitting at the feet of Jesus. So we need to start now. As good fathers, hey, I want to sit at the feet of Jesus. I want to learn from him. I want to learn from Jesus, and a good father learns. Secondly, a good father listens. James 1:19, and this is the NIV, it says, my dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, especially for fathers. It's so important that a good father listen. And I mean this in a couple of different ways. For a good father to listen, I mean listening individually, I mean listening passively, and I mean listening actively to God and to other dads, to your wife, listening. And here's what I mean. A good father listens individually. I listen to Ellie, I listen to Livy, I listen to Abby, and I listen to them individually. When they bring things to me, even if it's about Minecraft, stuff that I don't really care a lot about, or their stuffed animals, I want to hear from them. And I want to listen individually. I want to take the time to listen individually because a good father listens individually. I want to listen passively. And what I mean by that is that when my kids are playing, I'm eavesdropping, right? I'm actually listening to how they're interacting with other kids, how they're interacting with each other, how they're interacting, because I start to hear what's really in their hearts. And as a father, I'm listening for things in areas where I can either commendate and say, you're doing a great job here, or you're sharing, I heard you sharing with your sister, or I'm listening for areas where it's like, maybe we need to make an adjustment here. So I'm listening passively. I'm not just tuning out and staring at a TV. I want, as a good father, to be listening passively to what's going on around me. What's being said around me and in my home? And then thirdly, with this point, I want to be listening actively. So many fathers allow the world to speak into their homes and into their kids, and the secular world wants to speak right at your kids. Me as a father, I want to have a heart to listen to what the world is saying, and I want to preemptively address it at the dinner table. I want to hear what the world is about to tell my kids and go, you know what, let's have a conversation about this. I want to be active or proactive in the way that I listen to the world. Not that it consumes my soul, but I want to know that the world is about to tell my kid this is not sin, and I want to address it first. And a good father is going to listen for those opportunities, listen for those ways that I can be speaking into my children's life. Proverbs 19, verse 20 says, listen to counsel and receive instruction that you may be wise in your latter days. We have to listen to his word if we desire to make wise choices as fathers and leaders in our home. And I want to be a father who listens to the Lord that I can make wise choices as I age, as I grow older. But if you're looking to hear from him and you're not, one of the things that I ask people is saying, hey, I'm not hearing from the Lord. I'm trying to listen, but I'm not hearing from the Lord. And I've heard this from other dads. And I would say, okay, are you listening individually? Are you listening passively? Are you listening actively to your kids? Then when you're going to the Lord, are you getting quiet? Are you being still before the Lord? Because there are so many other distractions going on in the life of fathers that many times if a father comes to me and says, I'm not hearing from the Lord, say, well, have you shut off all the distractions? Are you getting quiet and still before the Lord? In Psalm 46:10, it says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth." Sometimes we have to get completely still, and we need to be quiet, and we need to listen for the Lord. A good father listens, and sometimes listening is a discipline that requires being still and being silent and listening for his still small voice. It's not always still and small, right? It's not always quiet. Sometimes it's thundering and loud. But sometimes if we're feeling like we're not hearing from the Lord, maybe we just need to shut things off and get quiet before the Lord. The third point that I want to make today is a good father lives. James 1:22 through 24, it says, "But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself and then goes away and immediately forgets what kind of man he was." Let me tell you this. Your kids won't forget, though. You're like the man who observes his face in the mirror and then immediately forgets. But if you're not living it, like James 1:22 says, your kids don't forget. A good father lives it out, lives what God's word says. You're a doer of the word and not a hearer only. There's way too many dads that are not living. They're just existing. They're not living a life that's pleasing to the Lord. They're not living a life that's set apart for the Lord. And a good father lives for the Lord, not just exists for the Lord, waiting for heaven. You live it out. I threw a quote up here, and it's a little bit self-serving. I couldn't find a good quote on this, and this is a quote from me. So, and it says, "Life is for the living." It's something that's been on my heart for a couple of years, and I don't have to go deep into explain, but life is for the living. It's to be lived. It's obviously not for the dead. And it's certainly, when you look around in this world, I see a lot of walking dead. I see a lot of people who are just going through the motions. They're going to work, they're gonna eat, they're gonna sleep, and then the weekend is for me. I get to go out on my boat, I get to drink, I get to party, I'm gonna live it up, and then I'm gonna go eat and sleep and work and eat and sleep and work. To me, that's death. It's just death. You're just a walking dead. Jesus has come to give us life, and that more abundantly, right? The life in Jesus is really living. That's real living. It's not going out and partying and visiting the places and seeing the world and putting incredible pictures on Instagram. That's not real living. The only real life is found in Jesus Christ and serving him. That's what I mean. A real good father lives and lives for Jesus, and you're only going to find real life in Jesus Christ. Romans 8:12, it says, live by the Spirit. I mean, really live. It says, "Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God." Did you notice that? He says, that's the way you'll live. The other way is bondage and death, and you're a dad. You're not a father who lives if you're living apart from the Spirit of God. You need his Spirit to really live. And this is something that I know that we're doing our very best, but I said, I've spoken to so many dads who say, "I want my kids to view the Lord as important. I want my kids, I want my family to view these things as critical in their lives." like attending church and reading the Bible and praying. But then I watch the dad living their life and praying and reading the Bible and going to church are some of the least important things in how they live. How do you expect your children to view anything as important when it's not important in your life, when you don't live it? Your kids will grow up and say, my dad didn't think that was important. Why should I think it was important? We as dads are called to live out the gospel, to live it in front of our kids. We go to church every Sunday because where else am I going to go? He alone has the words of eternal life. Sitting in a campground, that's great in and of itself. But I've devoted a day to the Lord, and I want to show my kids that we devote a day to the Lord. That the Lord is important. The Lord is the most important thing in our lives. And so if we want our kids to view those things as important, as significant, we have to live it out. There just isn't any other way apart from that. You got to live it out. If you don't live it out, don't be surprised when they're a teenager and they tell you, nope, not going to church anymore. Just not going to. It was never important to you. Why should it be important to me? That is a scary thought. Lastly, a good father loves. A good father loves. 1 John 4:7-8, we've sung this. I love this verse because I know it really well because of the song growing up. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. The very father we're trying to emulate, the very father we're trying to pattern our lives after is love. Love is his very nature, right? And so we can't be a good father without having love. And something that we may say to ourselves is like, okay, you know, I'm pretty good at that. I'm pretty good at loving. But here's the catch. It's not just ordinary love. We're talking about agape love. We're talking about sacrificial giving love, the love that Jesus modeled in his life on earth. The kind of love that washes feet, the kind of love that sacrifices, the kind of love that lays its life down for the sheep. Are we fathers who love that way? Where my hopes and my ambitions and my desires get laid at the foot of the cross, they get surrendered there like Jesus would surrender it and say, I'm laying my life down so, Lord, you would lead me to lead my family. That's the kind of love that a father is called to. And it's the kind of love that's difficult. Giving love is difficult love. Agape love is difficult love without the power of the Spirit. A lot of times we're just like Philip in John chapter 14. In John chapter 14, verses 8 and 9, Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and it is sufficient for us. Just show us the example. Show us like what God looks like. Show us, and we can follow that. That's going to be really good for us. God, just give us like what you want us to do. Just make it really simple and plain and right there, obvious to us. And Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? We look to Jesus. When I think of the ideal Father, if we've seen Jesus, we've seen the Father. We've seen the Father's heart. We've seen how it's to be lived out. We're to look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. I want you to be encouraged this morning that even if you had a crummy father, no father, a mediocre father, or maybe even a great father, it's still Jesus that we look to. There are some really practical things that a good father can instill in children, but nothing takes the place of looking to Jesus. And if you had a crummy father, look to Jesus. If you had a great father, look to Jesus. That's the answer in being a father after God's own heart. It's looking to Jesus. We probably should have led with that, because that makes it really simple, right? We just look to Jesus. We look the way that he lived his life. We look to his example. And how did Jesus live? And I'll go just a little bit ahead since we have some time here. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And we're going to be going over this again next week, God willing. And starting in verse 4, I was taught that when you look at 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4, and we put our name there, it's where we get a realization that we can't do it. For instance, verse 4 in chapter 13, it's like, Daniel suffers long and is kind. Daniel's love does not envy. Daniel's love does not parade itself, is not puffed up. That is incorrect. I can't do that, but when we add in Jesus' name here, when we put in Jesus, we see what the Father's love looks like. We see what it means to model real agape love. And a good father loves. So let's read it now with Jesus' name in there. Chapter 13, verse 4. Jesus' love suffers long and is kind. Jesus' love does not envy. Jesus' love does not parade itself and is not puffed up. Jesus does not behave rudely, does not seek his own. Jesus is not provoked, and Jesus thinks no evil. Jesus does not rejoice in iniquity, but Jesus rejoices in the truth. He is the truth. Jesus bears all things. He bore our sins. Jesus believes all things. He knows your future. Jesus hopes all things. Jesus endures all things. And Jesus and his love never fails. That's the love that we're to look to in being fathers. That's the love we're to aspire to. And that's also the love that we submit ourselves to in the power of the Spirit. Because we can't live this out apart from the Holy Spirit. I can't be a dad who loves my girls the way they deserve to be loved apart from the Holy Spirit. I can't be that father. But with the power of the Holy Spirit, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Lastly, we'll close with this. Our God is the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. One of the things that has messed so many people up in this world is the schizophrenic nature of humans, and especially fathers. I love you one day, I'm abusive the next day. There's so many things that are flawed among humans, and it's really messed people up. And I want to just encourage someone who may be listening to this, who may be listening to it right now, our God doesn't change. There's no shadow. There's no variation. He is who he says he is. He's the God of love. God is love. We wouldn't understand love without him defining it. He's the very definition of it. And with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning, he remains the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he's the Father that you can really count on. He's the Father that will always be there and will remain unchanged. And if you haven't given your life to Jesus, to the real Father, I would just encourage you today that you make that prayer, that you confess your sins, that you allow Jesus to forgive you of your sins and cleanse you of your unrighteousness, that you repent and turn a different direction and experience the love of the real Father. A father does a few things. Good father learns. A good father listens. A good father lives it out. And a good father loves. May we be those fathers who live those things out. May we be examples of God's love to our kids and to other people's kids and to other fathers who need to see an example. In Jesus' name, amen. Lord, we just come before you acknowledging that we are helpless without you. We are not good fathers apart from you. And so, Lord, we desire that you would empower us to be the leaders you've called us to be in our homes, the fathers to our kids. Lord, would you give us our kids as our righteous inheritance. We desire to see them in heaven, Lord. Would you allow us to be fathers who live it out, who don't just pay lip service to Jesus, but really follow him, are disciples of him. And Lord, would you give us joy in the doing? Would you give us joy unspeakable? It's such a privilege to be a father. It's such a blessing. And Lord, we're so thankful. Thank you that you've given me the privilege of being your son and the privilege of being a father. In Jesus' name, amen.